New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Bobby Ingram, Curtis Anderson, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't ready. A trust is lost for the news. Seven knife and Hallis in your ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, how long has it been since we had a Set of the Hallis episode?
It's been like 4 months.
Since
rookie camp.
Rookie camp, that's right. So week one of training camp is done. When you hear this all, we're dropping this today. Am I dropping it tomorrow? I guess it's a...
We're dropping this, it'll be out on Monday.
So you'll hear this on Monday. It will be the start of week two of training camp. Veterans, rookies, everyone's there. Pads will come on tomorrow. So since you're hearing this Monday, it will come on tomorrow at the Family Fest. Don't expect much from the Family Fest, by the way. It's going to be all vanilla garbage. Yeah. Ain't going to be no real hitting. That's reserved for practice. But this is Seven of the Hallis, of course. It is your boy, Flows. Flows Andolini. It's funny because within these past weeks, I lost my page, gained my page back. I had to create another page, Flows Corleone. Of course, if you know Andolini and Corleone, you know where this is coming from. He's a Godfather references. Might as well follow my second page just because it's there in case I'm trying to make sure niggas don't get me out the paint with that. I ain't putting nothing copyrighted on there. But I'm joined by my brother, Barb Chair Scott on Twitter. As you all know, we cover the Chicago Bears on behalf of the Bigs. And we are so happy to have been through training camp. Our first week, of course, you know, because of COVID-19 last year. Sorry, my school brain is going up. Last year, we weren't able to have training camp. Or mini camp. What did they actually have? There's no rookie mini camp last year, and there was no mini camp. It was just training camp, right?
Yeah.
But no actual preseason games.
No, there was no preseason games. It was training camp, but it was, you know, very, very like there wasn't any real access to it. Like there wasn't rookie camp, wasn't none of that. This is the first real NFL schedule in like 2 years.
Yeah. So this was our first time at, you know, I mean, this has been my first time talking to the players and the coaches in person. You know what I mean? So this has been an interesting first week. Not a lot of fans at the training camp.
Yeah, give us your thoughts or things that's been going on in your first week.
Not a lot of fans. You know, the bleacher is about 60% full. It's not as cold as Bourbonnais. When I mean cold, I mean like good. Like it ain't as dope as Bourbonnais, man. I realize nothing can replace Bourbonnais. Bourbonnais, first of all, the fields were bigger. There were maybe like six fields, and some of them weren't even actual fields. They just got set up that way. But it was a crap ton of grass at Bourbonnais. There was more parking space. Even if it was farther away, it was more accessible to people. And Hallis Hall just ain't as accessible. Of course, when it comes to Hallis Hall, it's the fact that they own Hallis Hall. This is their property. They don't have to pay anybody else to get on there. So I do understand them switching to Hallis Hall. As much as Bourbonnais was that place for the Bears. I mean, how long have the Bears been practicing in Bourbonnais?
Shit, forever.
You know what I'm saying? And that was Olivet Nazarene. And how, as long as they've been practicing there, I understand it. But I understand them moving to Hallis Hall. It's just not the same. You know, I went to Bourbonnais a few times as a fan. It ain't the same as going in as a journalist. And on top of that, man, Bears kind of bogus. Because it's two fields, but they practice on the one furthest from the crowd. I was like, you niggas don't want to see mistakes. You don't want them to see mistakes, which is kind of bogus. I don't know if they'll change that for the next week.
Well, the Bears have always been real secretive with their training camps for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
It's like nobody's trying to steal Matt Nagy's plays. Like, trust me, boo, you'll be fine. Do you think it was more of not a lot of fans because it was very hard to get tickets? I saw a lot of fans complaining about their tickets got denied. As far as getting there, because I even saw from your pictures, it didn't look like it was a lot of people there.
No.
Like, if you had to give a guess, man, what number of people who showed up?
Maybe 120?
120, yeah.
Remember, Bourbonnais had thousands.
Yeah, Bourbonnais is bigger, you know what I'm saying? Oh, and now they've got... Did they actually tell the reason why they moved from Bourbonnais? Was it because they want to show off that nice facility more?
I think it was a business decision. It's smarter too. Why go to another college and pay them, of course, because this is an agreement, so they're going to have to receive some sort of compensation. When you can come to my own field, owned by me, the conditions are set by me. If I want to have recluse them, it's also set by me. The fields are all tended by me. The inside is tended by me. Why do that? Why go anywhere else? I just think it was an economic decision. But I would love to ask why. You know, when Ryan Pace was happening, my first day getting used to being in a scrum with other reporters, I wanted to ask them, why did you all move to Hallis Hall? You know, what was the point? But I will ask on Tuesday, what has the atmosphere been like compared to Bourbonnais? You know, just out of curiosity. But yeah, that's my best guess.
So this is our first. We're gonna be doing weekly pods, like kind of like training camp updating pods, letting y'all know what's going on. These aren't gonna be long pods. These aren't gonna be the usual 45 minutes or hour podcast. Probably gonna be longer than 20, 30 minutes. Basically. Pretty much what we're gonna do on this first one, you know, I'm gonna ask you what you thought. What's your impressions were of the team, the actual football on there. And then you guys tweet us a couple questions. We'll answer those questions. And that's pretty much for this week. So what would you see? I saw a lot of people, you know, a lot of people kind of got upset, not upset, but a little shook over your first tweet about, you know, it being a rough day at office for Justin Fields. What was your, view on opinion on how Fields, how that quarterback room in general looking to you after the first week?
This is good, actually. That's the crazy part. I actually have a little confidence in Andy Dalton, too.
Okay.
Because I have to realize that Andy Dalton's year with the Cowboys was abridged with a new team he never expected to start with a playbook that he probably, he had no chance to actually learn that actual playbook. Whereas this time he has a full camp, a full veteran mini camp, and a full training camp, and he'll be more comfortable. Then when he was in freaking the Bengals, he was a good quarterback. He was a serviceable quarterback. So I don't know. So I shouldn't be shocked that he's doing well. And the first day, Justin Fields was ass. You know, we don't have to even, you know, I feel like some journalists in Chicago, you know, since they consider niggas threats, like some of them have an agenda with
y'all don't know how funny this is, by the way.
You don't, but shout out to Herb Howard, my co-journalist, my both partners covering Hallis Hall for the Bigs. And I think we were able to get some really good connections with players, but I feel like it's almost a bent toward trying to find the issue with Justin Fields and saying, oh yeah, look at that good old white boy, Andy Dalton. Look at him throw that ball. Whereas the rest of the younger Bears crowd is like, I don't want to look at Andy Dalton, go to Justin Fields. The problem is that because it's Justin Fields, and I understand he's going to take some bumps. I don't know what Trevor Lawrence was like. I haven't paid attention to the Jaguars. I guarantee the nigga's getting picked off a few times, you know, at training camp. But what Trevor Lawrence has that Justin Fields doesn't have is the fact that Trevor Lawrence, there is nobody else.
Yeah, I was about to say Trevor Lawrence doesn't have a decade long vet, a proven vet in the game, like Fields.
You got Gardner Minshew. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Somebody who is designated to be a career backup. No disrespect to him being a backup. You're making bread. You're playing a game that you love. And backups, as we've known,
solid career.
Backups always come into play. Look what happened. Was it Blake Bortles for the Chiefs?
Yeah,
Blake Bortles advanced him to the playoffs because of injuries.
Case Keenum that year with Case the Vikings. Keenum,
you know what I'm saying? So I never would disrespect backups. Second string.
We can go even further. Frank Wright,
bro,
led them to a Super Bowl, and when bro. Jim Kelly had all them damn injuries.
So I never want to disrespect a second string backup. Just sounds worse. Second string. So Justin Fields is in that second string role, and you know what? After we. I'm fine with him being that. Matter of fact, I want the Bears to take their time with Justin Fields. My first impression when I first got there was like, man, especially after a rookie minicamp when Justin Fields was lighting everything up, I'm like, bro, get Andy Dalton out of here. Andy Dalton was looking a little bit eh. But that's the great thing about minicamp and training camp. It gives everybody time to get the cobwebs out, learn the playbook, and then get actually adjusted. So now it's a little bit faster. Justin Fields' first training camp, bro, the defense was trying to humiliate him because what do you want them to do? They're supposed to. If they go vanilla on him, if you all know vanilla defense is when you're not actually trying. If a team is up by 70, they're going vanilla defense. When we were getting beat by Mount Carmel, play the coach music. When we would be getting beat.
Our first coach moment of the season.
I'm going to actually just start putting coach music
on. Yeah, we need to come up with like a theme to play when you go back in your room in this bag.
If anybody's listening, because I've actually had a few people hit me up who make music, give me a coach theme song. You know, give me something with a beat that I can play and say, hit my music, and we're gonna play over what I'm saying. Yeah. When we played Mount Carmel and niggas was up 40 at the half, Frank Lenti, who was the former coach of Mount Carmel for like decades, now it is manned by Jordan Lynch. If you know more, Jordan Lynch, NIU standout, who's a god DeKalb, was on the Bears practice squad, I believe. Now he's their coach. But Frank Lenti told Coach LeBlanc, Tyson LeBlanc, our Sweet East coach right now, don't worry, we'll put the backups in at halftime. And so they were like, they ain't trying to play hard, they're trying to get to the end of the game. This was not what the Bears defense were doing. They were flying. So when Justin Fields snapped the ball, he was taking too long. He would have been sacked. And that's Wednesday. I was like, that wasn't that great. The next day, because Herb covered it, because I was at the doctor, he talked to me. He said, man, it was on him again. He covered Friday. He was like, he was improving. The ball was getting out quicker. By Saturday, he started developing a rhythm. He started better tempo. Now, while this is happening, Andy Dalton was doing well. Anticipatory throws, he was making them. He had no problem. If he threw a pick, it didn't matter. I'm going to keep growing. And that was the beauty thing. That was the beauty, the great part about having someone like Andy Dalton in there. He's a vet. He knows what he's doing. Even Nick Foles, having people there to talk to them has been a blessing. And wouldn't be a podcast without myself.
Without your loud-ass vibrating sound on your phone.
So I will say Bears fans have nothing to worry about when it comes to QB. If it's one thing, the two best quarterbacks athletically you would probably consider are Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, as much as I hate to say it, athletically or skill-wise.
Oh, okay, yeah.
What do they have in common? They set. Because gifts like them, sometimes it's not, once again, this is not saying Justin Fields will have to sit, but sometimes it's better for a quarterback to sit. We used to go back in the day, quarterbacks always sat.
But I will say this, and obviously I'm not there, but there's also it's practice. Like, there's been practices, not last year, because niggas last year said, yo, this quarterback room is going to be rough. Like, remember when niggas like, yo, this nigga Mitch ass, Nick Foles ain't that much better. Remember Mitch's rookie year, niggas like, oh, he makes some good passes. I ain't never seen no shit like this before. And he was ass. Some players are not practice players. I'm not saying that's Justin Fields, but I think we'll get more of a better idea of what these two are going to be once these preseason games are going to start. And then also, this is going to be the first.
The men from the children.
This is the first preseason in 2 years. And that Matt Nagy said he's going to play the starters this year. Remember, he didn't. Remember, Matt Nagy used to never play the starters.
True.
But he said he's going to play the starters. And there's only 3 preseason games. So this year, we're going to really, really see that. And I'm with you. Like, I think the thing that's going to be so stress-free for me this upcoming season, I have no expectations for this year. I don't have a record in mind for this team. I can see it going either way. I can see this team being a 500-ass team. I can see this team, you know, I can't see less than, like, 7 wins, to be honest. I don't think it's going to be, like, a less than that. I can see them being, like, around competition and they barely miss the playoffs. And I can see them exceeding expectations. A lot of that rides on what Andy Dalton are we going to get? When are you going to see Justin Fields? What is Matt Nagy's play calling? That's the number one thing to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, me and you have been saying this podcast with us. I've been saying it, nigga, since 2018 when nigga said I was stupid for
you
calling this nigga
NFC
out.
Championship game. You was like,
no, not the NFC Championship game. The game against the Rams on Sunday Night Football. I saw something.
Was that the Eddie Jackson pickoff game?
No, that was the huff off between him and Jared Goff. But he each had like
four picks. The Eddie Jackson pick game.
No, Eddie Jackson pick game was against Minnesota.
No. The game where Eddie Jackson picked him off and returned it for a touchdown, that was against the Rams. They both had four picks.
Eddie Jackson had interception. He didn't return for a touchdown. The pick six, that was Minnesota.
He wouldn't return for a touchdown, but it was close.
It was close, but yeah. This is the one Roquan returned it for a touchdown. The Eddie Jackson in the infield, that's Minnesota. I know, because me and Pierce went to the bar to watch that.
Minnesota.
Me and Pierce went to the bar to watch it.
Minnesota. That's right. Yes. He picked off Kirk Cousins. Yes. Kirk Cousins threw to the wide side of the field, which was the right side. Eddie Jackson picked it off, pointed at the end zone for Danny Trevathan or Roquan Smith to block for him, and then did the – you're right.
That was Minnesota, because I remember me and Pierce went to the bar.
I must be tripping.
That's funnier than y'all know.
Funny for two reasons, nigga.
And MJD, Maurice Jones-Drew, was at the bar, too, and he was hating on the Bears. That's how I remember. But no, the Rams game, I was watching with Lotto, and I was like, I don't like this nigga's play calls. So a lot of had to do, what's his play calling going to be like? He can't use Mitch as his excuse anymore. You know what I'm saying? So that's how's the defense going to look? You know what I'm saying? So there's so many questions that's going to go on for me to figure out what this team is going to be. But what's the point of rushing, Justin? Justin's gonna get in. And we all know Andy Dalton. I don't give a fuck how good Andy Dalton looking cook in practice. He's still Andy Dalton. One or two things is gonna happen. He's either gonna start huffing it out or you're gonna get hurt. You're gonna see Justin Fields this season. It's just a matter of time. So in the meantime, make sure he's as ready as possible because it's the NFL. It's the NFL. Peyton Manning had 26 interceptions rookie year.
Facts.
Tom Brady honestly didn't become Tom Brady till like his 10th season. Tom Brady that we know today.
That is true.
Tom was real game managery like in a regular season. In the postseason, that nigga turned up. So it takes a while. So, but yeah. What do you want to get into questions or did you have any more observations?
Well, yeah. So I want to say the defense looks really good. Defense looks really good. Thomas Graham, cornerback from he was once a Baylor. Yeah, cornerback. Getting his ass whooped. I will say with Thomas Graham, this is not because, once again, he's also a good interview. Not getting his ass whooped because he was trash, because they were trying to pick on him. And he manned up and he went to the challenge every single time. So expect him to get a lot of tick. The second cornerback position, Jalen Johnson, dog. Jalen Johnson going to take that leap. Jalen Johnson looks primed to take that leap. Okay. The second cornerback position, expect Desmond Trufant. Did I get his first name right? Desmond Trufant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Expect him and Kendall Vildor to be to take up tick, because right now both of them are taking up tick. Deion Bush looks freaking good. He's gonna do good. Even in a safety or a nickel position, he picked off Andy Dalton with what was a good pass. It was a good pass to Allen Robinson, but Deion Bush read it all the way. It's like Scott said, right now it's just training camp. First preseason game is coming up, ain't it?
Next Saturday, August 14th.
I will be in attendance.
August 14th. I will
be in attendance. Cannot wait.
Yeah, August 14th. See, we're going to see a lot of things, man. A lot of things going to,
we going to see.
Are they going to be as aggressive? You know, Khalil Mack was
like, that's nothing. They looked good. But once again,
it's practice. You know, Khalil Mack was like, I don't do much talking. That's fine. Khalil said that the last two seasons. But, you know what I'm saying? I need to see that 2018 Khalil back. You know what I'm saying? So, there's going to be a lot of things riding on this season, man. So, it's just the beginning. But
it is just the beginning, but I will say there is Bears fans, go to training camp, bro. Go to training, keep applying. There are so many spots available. You can't park at Hallis Hall, but there are shuttles, literal buses, a crap ton of them that will pick you up and take you there. Get it going. So
yeah. You want to get into these questions that we have?
Yeah, bro. Pull them up.
Okay, so I want to give a shout out to y'all because I tweeted this out and y'all niggas actually gave us questions. So shout out to y'all. I'm looking at the likes right now. We got a couple. All right, so our first question comes from BRC2_. His question is, how can we properly guard the OL when they are going against a great front seven daily? And how do you feel about them after two or I guess three today practices so far? Now, these are all questions for you because I'm not there. I don't fucking know.
Repeat that one more time. Let me ingest that.
How can we properly gauge the offensive line when they are going against a great front seven daily? And how do you feel about them after two or I guess three today practices so far?
Interior is pretty good. Number 72, I forgot his name. Beat the crap out of James Daniel one play. That's that was the only highlight. I was like, oh my God. I was like, James Daniel's getting manhandled. But No pads on just yet. So there's so many things that offensive linemen can do with pads on that you don't know. Right now, my best bet is Elijah Wilkinson came from the Denver Broncos. He had been injured a little bit last year. Good conversation. I want to take him to get some Harold's, him and Daz Newsom, which I'm really, I can't wait, man. I think the Bears are waiting on Daz to get healthy with that.
Interesting wide receiver core this year.
Got a lot of wide receivers, bro, and you got some talent that I'm unsure who they're gonna cut. So look, but as far as the offensive line, the interior is set. That Sam Mustipher at center, James Daniels at right guard, and then Cody Whitehair at left guard. That may be swapped. Forgive me if I messed that up. Offensive, I'm guessing Elijah Wilkinson will be the right or left tackle. I'm not 100% sure. That left tackle position is going to be Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins has been sitting out with back soreness or hamstring soreness, one of the two. So I'm pretty sure Tevin Jenkins is going to be starting. Elijah Wilkinson will be the other, or Elijah Wilkinson will be fighting. But there, it seems like it's the onus is on Elijah Wilkinson to get healthy, Daz Newsom to get healthy, so they can get in those positions. Defensively, man, the defense is flying. Eddie Goldman being back, oh my goodness.
It's Khalil called Eddie G. Eddie G.
Eddie G. What are you talking about? Eddie G. When he talks to me, I'm like, bro, what are you saying?
Yeah, Florida nigga, man.
Also, a couple of dudes I'm gonna try to get in the pod. We're gonna do some finesse.
We're gonna get some players this season. I'm just gonna let y'all know right now.
Yeah, they look good. Them pads coming on and the defense they be hounding the offense on the sidelines. Like Eddie Jackson had to tell one of the rookies. He's a rookie, he's a 4-year veteran, to calm down because one of them was like, man, get the F off the field. Get the F off the field. They're like, yo, it's fans and it's kids here. Eddie Jackson's like, yo, big dog. I feel you, big dog. But hold on, hold that down.
You know, it's funny. We seen Eddie's whole growth. Now he a vet.
Oh, bro, he is a sure vet. He is a coach out there. Once again, he's been dealing with hamstring and back tightness. And so he's been a coach. He's had a playbook in his hand and a play sheet, and he's just been coaching him. To see his rise into the vet that he is now is incredible. But he was like, I feel you, big dog. Hold it down. Basically, like, nigga, relax. You're doing that too much. This isn't a closed practice where you can curse like that. There are children here.
Yeah, that's that Southern shit.
I know. And so to see the line flying, Eddie Goldman, and to now have Bilal Nichols does not have to worry about filling the shoes of Eddie Goldman. Also, Bilal told us that Eddie Goldman was calling him all throughout last season. Eddie Goldman sat out because of the virus, and you got to respect someone who would do that because of their health.
And said it was eating him up. He wanted to be out there with his guys.
You know what I'm saying? He understood. He understood the stakes. A few Bears players were vaccinated. Cole Kmet got vaccinated. You know, give a round of applause for Cole Kmet. Thoroughly shocked.
Yeah, he a Notre Dame nigga. He don't look right.
when I heard when he said I want to make an informed decision, I didn't think he would say something. End up getting vaccinated. Shout out to him. Typically, you know, that would be actual HIPAA. But there are the NFL has mandated certain things for players who aren't vaccinated. And it seems like the Bears crossed the 85 or 90% threshold. So the vast majority of them there are vaccinated. All the Bears staff, the coaches, the journalists, everyone in there is vaccinated. So I hate that I have to wear a mask, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But to answer your question, yes, the line was flying. Looks good on both sides.
Okay, so this is another question he got. You kind of answered this. We said, also, what are our expectations for the defense? I'm expecting, hoping for no less than a top eight defense with a turnaround on the turnover numbers, since it seems like we have a more aggressive defense style with Sean Desai. Now, I will say this. Matt Nagy has made an extreme emphasis on turnovers.
Yeah, he said it.
You want to get back to that 2018 style where we led the league in turnovers. So, my expectation, I can answer this too. My expectations is I want to see aggressiveness. I want to see an elite pass rush because we have elite pass rushers. We have Eddie Goldman. We have Akeem Hicks. Akeem Hicks, and I'm looking at Akeem. There's three niggas I'm looking at. Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn. Show me something. Yeah. Especially you, Robert Quinn. They paid you all this motherfucking money, and I know you were hurt last year. Show me something. Because that's you. That's how you win the game. That's how your secondary get better. Yeah. Secondary is only as good as the defensive line as a pass rush. We have not put quarterbacks on their ass for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
We need to put quarterbacks back on their ass. I'm expecting a way more aggressive defense. I want turnovers, and I want pressure.
I'm expecting turnovers. Matt Nagy emphasized we got to get back to picking that ball off, to getting that off the ground, to punching it out. Man, get some peanut punches going. Scott hates peanut Tillman, not as a person, but as a player. He did not like Scott dislikes his style.
He is. We got 12 of him. We got 12 of him.
Is he actually FBI?
FBI.
No, he's actually my goodness.
In training. We got 12 of him.
You know 12 here.
You know 12 here.
Get some peanut punches going. You know what I'm saying? But my expectation is top 10 for sure. They were top 10.
Top eight might be stretching it.
Maybe. Because
of good defenses.
Danny Trevathan, I'm intrigued to see. Christian Jones looks good. Christian Jones is going to get some of Danny T's tick. Christian Jones is enormous as a human being. When he walked past me, I said, that's a big dude. When Eddie Goldman walked past me, I was like, how are humans this size?
Roquan coming for that max contract.
Roquan looks good. He looks good.
You know the thing I love about Roquan? He parties hard, but he delivers on the field. He like Rodman. You know what I'm saying? Rodman, that's why Rodman got away with all that shit. Because Mike was like, we know he's going to be there for us when we need him on the court.
Absolutely.
You're going to see Roquan Surtoff playing the ukulele at London House with Justin Fields, but he's going to be out there on that field the next day.
Facts. Facts. Eddie Goldman, throughout a year, kept himself in football shape. You gotta understand. That's how you have to understand.
That's tough in a pandemic.
That was strictly a medical thing. He just didn't. The pandemic, man, it's killed 600,000 plus people, bro. It's not something you should take for a game. Also, the Delta variant is whooping ass right now. Get yourself vaccinated.
Yeah.
Bears, you can use this as free press. We don't even care. Just let them know it came from us, nigga.
We are pro-vaccination on this podcast.
Absolutely. It ain't going to change either.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We lost family, and it ain't shit funny about it. Next question.
Next question, man, is coming from my man, Young Blastro. Sorry about your Cub breakup. I'm really not, but anyway. He said, what are your thoughts on who will win the CB2 battle, cornerback number two battle?
We mentioned that. It's Desmond Trufant and Kendall Vildor. They're going to split time. Desmond Trufant has more years in the league and is the better talent experience-wise. But Kendall Vildor been getting it too. But I'm guessing Desmond Trufant will get probably 60-40.
So who's the number one corner?
Jalen Johnson, my brother.
Jalen, I forgot about Jalen.
Jalen taking that leap, as I said.
Our next one is from my homie, Deep_Chris_J. Who looks like the favorite to be the third wide receiver? He said, how does Tariq Cohen look? We can answer that. Tariq Cohen is on the pup list. So who do you think is going to be the third wide receiver? I'm not there, but I'm going with Goodwin.
Damir Bird looks good.
I forgot about Bird. He was nice with the Patriots.
You know what I'm saying? Damir Bird looks good. And, man, and waiting in the wing is Riley Ridley. Riley, as they call him. Riley, let's get it, Rilo.
Is my boy finally going to get some tech?
Coaches love Rilo. I think because Rilo is a
I'm going to keep saying he's the best route runner on this team.
He is a great route runner. And the coaches want him to take that next step. Let's get it, Rilo. At the top of every single exercise. Every single rep of a new thing they have to do. So if they're catching the ball, they're catching the ball on the slant, catching on a post, catching on the go route. Rilo's the first one up there. And he looks good. But my best guess is Goodwin because he's freaking fast.
Fast as shit.
You know, Mooney got that lockdown at number two. He's going nowhere. He looks faster than he did before.
He gonna be the remember we always said we don't have nobody to take the top off of defense. Mooney gonna take the top off. He took the top off last. He just had no niggas to throw to him.
And Marquise Goodwin was about to be in the Olympics. Let's remember.
Yeah, exactly.
So he is incredibly fast and athletic.
He was catching deep balls with CJ Beathard throwing him, nigga.
Yeah. So Marquise Goodwin will be probably the number him and Damir Bird will be splitting time. And then in the waiting will be Riley Ridley, and then everybody else is, you know, Javon Williams is still gonna be there. But Riley jumped Javon Williams.
I forgot Javon Williams was on this team. But anyway, our next question, it comes from our Summer Sessions co-host, Damian. Follow his new Twitter because his last one got taken at iVelvetJones on Twitter. He says, will Marquise Goodwin be a sufficient replacement for Patterson, and can he outrun the Rona? I'll take your answer off air.
I'm not going to comment on Marquise Goodwin's. It doesn't seem like he wants to talk about his status being vaccinated. I don't know what he is. In terms of punt return, it's been Huster. It's been Herbert. What's Herbert's first name?
Khalil
Herbert. Khalil Herbert has been returning kicks and returning punts. I think Daz will probably be that second person for punts because Daz did return punts in college, if I remember correctly. Yes, he did. So my best belief, because he had a punt return against, I want to say, who's the dudes who wear the orange uniforms? You don't know. It's breaking me up. Donovan McNabb went there. Come on, Scott. Scott's on the phone. Scott can't answer. Scott's ruined this. But
No, that was my DoorDash person. I'm going to give you the second
Syracuse.
Question.
Daz Newsome had a return TD against Syracuse like in 2019. So, yeah, Daz Newsome is going to look to be that punt return person when he gets back, but it looks like Khalil Herbert will be the kick return person. Could I see Marquise Goodwin getting some tick at that? Absolutely. I mean, he's fast in all of them. So, also, I want to note that Hub Arkush is a veteran journalist, good dude as well. He asked, who would you take in a 4x4 or 5x5 relay run in the Olympics? And his five included Mooney. I don't know if it was Bird, But the fifth person he said was Justin Fields. That is just a huge recommendation, and a, I don't want to say recommendation, but huge praise from him to speak about how good he is. And that was just incredible to see. Our next question also comes from 1017 Van, formerly Van Reed on Twitter. How is the secondary looking so far? Right now, I would say there are a few shuffling parts. Eddie Jackson, as you know, has been injured, so he hasn't been able to compete in practice. But Tayshawn Gibson is still there. Tayshawn Gibson, you know, when it comes to a safety, it's hard to gauge until you get the pads on and you see, you know, what he'll do. They're not going to hit like crazy because this is not, they're not freaking Neanderthals. But Tayshawn Gibson is holding down that safety position. Deion Bush has been the, of course, he's a backup, played also a lot last year, is the second string for Eddie Jackson. But Jalen Johnson has done well holding out his position. And so has Vildor and Desmond Trufant. Vildor has been all over the field. Like when it's close to being a turnover, I've seen Vildor there every single time. The next one we had is over under 50 receptions for Cole Kmet. That is a tough one. The reason I say that is a tough one is because I don't know, like with Jimmy Graham still gets open, man. Jimmy Graham still, he still find ways to get to the ball. So I don't know. My best guess is maybe in between the 40 and 60 range. That's a very, very, very broad number to say 40 to 60. But last year, Cole Kmet was dealing with the fact that he was a rookie. And I think he finished the year with like 30 receptions and like maybe two or three TDs. And so 30 receptions when it was still primarily Jimmy Graham being the primary tight end. Okay, 50 is a good mark. So yeah, I would say my bet with him to get 50. He looks good. He's faster than I remember, especially seeing him on the field from before.
But what did I miss?
I went through a lot of questions.
All right.
You know, Scott was getting his food, so I said,
you answered,
how does the secondary Van Reed? He had a secondary look so far. Okay. I answered that. We already did the top off, the top 10 defense. The third wide receiver, we already said that. Tariq Cohen, of course, as you know, on the pup list. I didn't answer the Montgomery question, and then I just answered how many receptions will Cole Kmet be. We also had two questions. We had the same question on quarterback number two, as I said, Kendall Vildor, Desmond Trufant. But Cole Kmet, I would give him 50 to 60 range. Jimmy Graham last year, I want to say, had about 40 or 50 receptions last year. Yeah, 50 receptions last year for 8 touchdowns, which is just a crap ton when you think about it. But I'm expecting his receptions to go up. You know, I'm expecting a lot of receptions because both of these quarterbacks, Justin Fields or Andy Dalton, Andy Dalton likes tight ends. Let's not forget that. And I think Justin Fields likes a big target too. You know, he's going Chris Olave. Shout out to my boy, Cole player, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Now he's going to have a lot. He has speed, but he also has more size than he did in college. But I'm guessing about 100 receptions between the two. They had 80 last year. 80 last year with no good quarterbacks. Now you have two good quarterbacks. So I'm expecting 80 receptions. I'm sorry, 100 receptions between the two. What do you think?
I think that's a lot. I don't know really what we're going to get from this tight end core. I hope. I'm more confident in Jimmy Graham than I am with Cole Kmet. Still got to see a lot more.
That remains. I am still more confident.
Jimmy Graham showed me he had a lot more in the tank last year, and he was a huge end zone threat. And he was an end zone threat with two inaccurate quarterbacks. So, you know what I'm saying? What I'm going to do this week, I'm going to go back and look at a lot of Cowboy games last year when Dalton came over and took out, because they have good receivers there too, see what he was like. But that's a big question mark. That's one of my multiple questions with this team. What are we going to get from the tight ends? You know what I'm saying? Because Nagy loves tight ends. You said Dalton loves tight ends. I think Jimmy Graham's going to have a good year, another good year. Great in the end zone. I don't know what I'm getting from Cole Kmet. So that's one of the big question marks. What about the David Montgomery question? Because I feel like I'm not worried about Demo. I'm worried about Nagy giving the ball to Demo. Because he said, I think it's no question he's going to get 20 carries a game. I believe when I see it, nigga.
Everybody asked him, is he going to reach that 15K? Now, that's the plan. I'm like, that's not what I want to hear.
That's not what I asked, nigga. Yeah.
He has, right now, first of all, this is the greatest quarterback trio in the history of the Chicago Bears. By miles.
It tells you how bad this man.
I know. Andy Dalton on the 85 Bears, he would have dropped 5,000 yards. I'm not even joking. This is the best quarterback trio, the best quarterback duo in the history of the Bears. And their offense is going to do what they've done, what they haven't done ever before. That means they're going to be passing more.
Yeah.
They ain't going to be running as much. They started to rely on David Montgomery when they realized, oh man, the season's probably over. Then they started to break off a little bit of a streak. And then they said, oh, time to pass again. So he got what, 1,008, 1,001 yards? He'll get back to 1,050, but it's going to be a tough 1,050. The offensive line will block well for him. He'll have a good yards per carry. I'm not sure he'll still be getting the number of carries he gets. Like Derrick Henry gets you, what, 300-something carries a game? You're never going to see David Montgomery get to that because that's just not who Matt Nagy is, unfortunately. Derrick Henry had 378 attempts. God, you're never going to see David Montgomery come close to 378 attempts.
And yeah, it's not going to happen.
And I think
last year, I don't need that to happen.
No, last year he had 247, year before 242. He got 1,070 yards with 8 touchdowns and a 4.3 average. Expect the same.
Well, that's all our questions, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
I appreciate you guys sending. We're going to keep doing this every week, more mailbag questions. Before we get out of here, there's two questions I have for you, and I'm going to answer it too. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that Allen Robinson will be here beyond this season? I'm with you. I'm very confident. I think they're going to get a deal done. I think he's going to have his best career-wise numbers because he's going to be playing with the best quarterbacks he's played with in his career.
Also, I think a better offensive line, so more time.
Yeah, it's going to be more and dedicated to him.
He will not have to worry about – the defense didn't hone in on Mooney because they didn't know who Mooney was. It wasn't until Mooney had to baptize Jalen Ramsey that they were like, hold up.
I can't wait for that week one matchup because Jalen Ramsey got fooled by a fake Darnell Mooney account. Danny Mooney hasn't said anything to this nigga all offseason.
Danny Mooney is cool, calm, and collected, bro. He don't talk about nobody.
You know what I'm saying? Cash Mooney is my nickname for him. Yeah, I did.
I don't think you did.
I did. Where else would I get it from?
I'm gonna look on Twitter and look up Cash Mooney.
You're on Twitter. You're gonna see my Twitter come up.
I was calling the tweets. You sure?
Oh, yeah, I forgot I did delete my tweets before June.
Also, search our tweets. There's nothing there.
Oh no, we don't tweet something from
Cash Mooney. I see Cash Money. No.
Exactly, nigga.
Cash Mooney, July 29th. You may have created that.
See, told you. But yeah, and here's the last one. Over or under week 6 for Justin Fields to start under center.
Over.
Over? You think it's gonna be beyond week 6?
Yeah, because I think Andy Dalton will do fine.
Okay.
But once again, Andy Dalton, I think he's going to win a few games for the Bears. Legitimately win. And I think then he will be – it gets to the point where you see Justin Fields is going to be ready. You know, there's also a chance that he might sit the whole season. I know, highly unlikely. But there's also the chance –
if he sits the whole season, that means the Bears are a very, very good team. They're a playoff team. And Andy Dalton's having a year that he ain't had since he's been in Cincinnati.
Basically. So, like, you're coming off, let's see, the first 6 games are the Rams, Bengals, Browns, Lions, Raiders, Packers.
It's a tough schedule.
If Andy Dalton comes out of there good, Justin Fields is sitting. He comes out of there shaky.
What's the minimum record they have to have?
Out of 6 games, 4-2.
You don't think 3-3?
If it's 3-3, nigga, Justin Fields is going to get that look.
Okay. I'm taking the other. I don't believe in Andy Dalton. I'm sorry. I fuck with all the positive vibes that have come from camp, but I got eyes, nigga. I've seen him since he's been out of Cincinnati.
Look at his Cincinnati highlights, though. You know what I'm saying? Watch a Cincinnati game.
Since he was in Cincinnati. He ain't been in Cincinnati for a minute.
True.
And his last couple years with Cincinnati wasn't cold.
Okay.
He was kind of – now, I will say he helped the Cowboys stay in the playoff race in that last year. Granted, then NFC East. But – he had a lot of weapons in Dallas. He wasn't great. And they have better weapons in Dallas than we got here. So,
Andy Dalton with the famous 33 touchdowns, 20 interception year. His last year in Cincinnati was 21 touchdowns, 11 picks, 2,500 yards, 61 completion percentage.
What was his numbers last year with Dallas?
I'm sorry, no, that was the second to last. His last year with Cincinnati was 16 and 14, 59 completion percentage, 3,500 yards. His last year with Dallas was 14 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 2,100 yards, 64% completion rating. Sounds like Mr. Biscay.
Exactly. I don't buy it. I'm glad he's doing well. I'll believe it when I see it. And I think Justin Fields will be the starter before week six. Either because he's going to huff it up or he's going to get hurt. Let's not forget, this nigga gets hurt a lot.
On top of that, you know, not to wish that he'd get hurt.
No, I'm not saying wish that he's going to get hurt. But
it's the NFL.
Some niggas are injury prone.
True. Yeah. So, I was talking to Elijah Wilkinson and I asked, you know, what do you do? And I think he was he may have thought I was saying, nigga, why do you keep getting injured? But he was like, you know, what can I do to stop injury? I was like, it's not your fault that you're ever injured. That's not, you don't control what your body reacts to certain stimulus. But have you strengthened up? He's like, yeah, you know, I try to strengthen a few muscles here and there. So never Andy Dalton's fault, anybody's fault they get injured. But if you know they have a history of being injured, Andy Dalton, I believe, yeah, he's played about, last year he played 11 games, year before 13, 11, then a string of two complete seasons, then 13 games, and then 16. So he didn't start actually losing games until 2015, drafted in 2011. Since then, he's had a few injured seasons. So we'll see.
We'll see. This is a great first training camp pod. We're going to drop these every week, man. Continue to follow us at 79th and Hollis. Follow the Barbershare Network at BarbershareNet. Follow us at Flows and Delaney at Barbershare Scott. Patreon.com/Barbershare Network. If you want to get our game preview pods, I mean, those are coming back. Those are Patreon exclusive. All Barbershare, all access, $10. Subscribe. We'll holler at y'all next week, man.
At training camp, most of my updates will be on the BX page. Also, we will have it'll be simultaneous coverage. Me and Scott working in tandem, but you can follow updates at the BX. Also at 79th and Hollis, you'll get both of that. So be sure to follow the BX page. And yeah, thank you all for listening. We'll be out.